welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emmett Knight. And today on the show, we're talking about meth tests. Are they worth it? Now, for those of you who have been around the property investment industry for a while, you'll remember back a couple of years ago, meth was a really scary subject for landlords here in New Zealand. Then in 2018, there was a report released by Peter Gluckman, who was the Prime Minister's chief science advisor, saying that, look, the effects of contamination weren't as severe as we initially thought. So are meth tests still worth it today in 2022 and beyond? And what do you as a property investor need to know? So, Andrew, let's talk about both that report and what it was like before that report came out. Like, you'll remember 2015. How scary was meth?
Meth was like the topic of hot conversation. It was probably off the back of, you know, watching shows like Breaking Bad and seeing these meth cooks happening in houses and then people hearing all these horror stories about houses having to be completely relined. So stripped, that means removing all the jib off the walls, re-jibbed, and then repainted and sealed. You know, it was a big issue. I think probably the concept of that heavy drug use for your average investor was very, very scary. It was often the number one topic of list of concerns for landlords, according to the New Zealand Property Investor Survey. And Housing New Zealand reportedly spent $100 million trying to clean meth houses. So that's the government organisation now we know as Kāinga Ora.
And Andrew, tell us a story about some of the investors you worked with who have had meth contamination in those properties.
Well, I remember one particular investor that worked with me. They ended up getting their property tested. And it had already been rented out for a while at this stage. Then they got it tested when a tenant moved out and found the presence of meth. And it was a major panic. And actually the problem was there was no baseline test. So they hadn't tested it when the initial tenants moved in. So you couldn't prove that it was the tenants. And actually I think they came to the conclusion that it was actually the builders who were building the property or maybe the painters or something like that had been actually using. And I remember that was a real issue around that time as well because there was a lot of pressure on the housing market in certain areas of New Zealand. People were working long hours.
Well, then in 2018, out came the Peter Gluckman report, who, as I said, was the Prime Minister's chief science advisor at the time. And what he did was he did a science-based investigation. Out came, it's quite a short report, only about 40 pages long. And if anybody listening to the show, if you are concerned about meth contamination in your properties, I'd recommend reading this because it's actually surprisingly interesting. Here are a couple of quotes. He said, there are no published data relating to the health risks of residing in a dwelling that was formerly used for only smoking meth. So let me put that into
layman's terms.
Hey, look, we've got no evidence that if you live in a property where somebody had previously smoked meth, there's no evidence to say that you are going to have fatigue or drowsiness or confusion. There's no evidence to suggest there would be any health effect on you or your tenants within that property. And in fact, it went on to say, and I quote again, there is a widespread misperception that any meth-related activity in a dwelling, no matter how much the level, results in contamination that has the potential to produce negative health effects. So in essence, what he's saying is that the mere presence of meth, if somebody smoked meth in your house, it doesn't mean that there is necessarily a health risk. So he's saying there's been a whole heap of media hysteria at the time and a whole heap of theories that if somebody had consumed meth within a property, that would lead the next people who lived in that property to also have some negative health effects. But actually, there's no evidence of it, and it's a widespread misperception. And in fact,
Misperception.
Misconception,
I thought was the word, but is misperception a word as well?
That's what was written in the document.
I don't know.
Are you the Prime Minister's chief science advisor,
no,
Andrew?
Definitely not.
And clearly not the Prime Minister's chief English advisor either. Now, what was interesting out of this is he said, testing is only recommended when meth lab activity is suspected or where heavy use is suspected. Quote, testing is not warranted in most cases. And what he did in this is he massively increased the standard for what was considered to be contaminated or not. So prior to this report coming out, it was 1.5 micrograms of meth per 100 square centimetres on the wall. He raised that 10 times up to 15 micrograms per 100 square centimetres. And in fact, he even said that is still considered to be conservative by a factor of 30 times.
Wow.
So what was fascinating when reading it, I was expecting, you know, something perhaps not as blunt or as forceful as this. But after having read it, I thought, well, hey, maybe meth tests aren't as necessary as some people think. But actually, just take us back as well, Andrew. What were some of the things that could happen to somebody's property if there was meth contamination?
Well, I think the first thing, which is obviously a concern for landlords and tenants, is that it can make the tenants sick. So if they're residing in there, and particularly I think there was concern around, you know, children or babies living in the house, and whether or not they were going to become ill as a result of this contamination, that could result in a complete rebuild in some instances. So if there was a serious meth cook going on and it had seeped into all the ducts and managed to contaminate the wood, then you know, you might end up rebuilding the house. You have a loss of rent if you're a landlord because you're having to do these repairs and it could take 6 months to do that. And if the police are involved, potentially this is going to end up on your LIM, your land information memorandum. So that means when you go to sell the property, new buyer's going to know that, well, this was a meth house at some stage, and you can imagine that would affect the value drastically.
But what the Gluckman report did was they talked about the different levels of exposure, right?
Yeah, so there are two types of exposure. There's the use, so smoking meth in the house, but then the main one, which is actually manufacturing. So this is when someone's actually producing the meth. And overseas, the contamination of meth labs primarily comes from the chemicals that are actually used in producing meth. So not in the smoking of the meth itself, but the actual process of producing the meth. But according to the report, the methods for manufacturing meth in New Zealand have changed drastically. And that's because we've banned the main precursor to actually create the meth. And so
The chemicals, right? And the solvents.
Yeah, correct. So now, because we've banned or made it virtually impossible to actually access any of these materials, I guess the way that we're producing it now is different.
I want to know how they found that out, though. Like, how did they find out that, you know, because Gluckman's not going to be walking around talking to all of the manufacturers.
No, but what would happen is you'd have seizures and you'd know what they were producing it with.
Yeah, okay, very interesting.
But remember on Breaking Bad. I've never watched it. Oh, you haven't? Watching it again with Lauren because she's too young to have seen it. So we've been watching it recently and they use, I mean, it's a made-up program, obviously, but they use a different precursor to producing the meth, and that's why they get the blue product. So you can substitute one for another one, but obviously it's less dangerous.
Well, nonetheless, P Labs have a lot of meth going through them, and the dealers often smoke the stuff too. And so what the report was really saying is it's the P Labs you have to worry about, and that's kind of 30 micrograms per 100 square centimetres and above. So if we know that we've got to be worried about meth manufacturer, let's figure out like how much manufacturing and smoking is actually going on in New Zealand. Now, I'm going to hide your podcast notes for a second, Andrew.
Go for it.
How much of the population do you think smokes meth, percentage-wise?
5%?
1%.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
I always look at you like you should know these things, but about 1% has used the drug.
Actually, 5% is a ridiculously high number. I don't know why I used 5%.
Well, according to the Ministry of Health, that 1% of the population uses it mostly casually. And in 2016, there were 74 meth labs identified, and about 2/3 of those are rentals. So let me just put this into context for you. Now, of course, those are only the meth labs that have so far been discovered. It won't be every meth lab out there. But if you say, okay, 50 meth labs were discovered in rentals in 2016, there are about 600,000 rental properties. So that's less than 0.01% of rental properties that were identified as P labs in that year. That's about 1 in 12,000 rental properties. Now, of course, you know, there will have been many that haven't been identified, but it does show you the low level of manufacture that is going on, and that was echoed within that report. And, you know, that is actually the reason why this specific report says, and I quote again, testing for meth in residential properties should not be the default pathway. From a risk perspective, testing is only necessary where meth lab activity is suspected or where heavy use is suspected.
Which raises a good question. What heavy use? For an individual meth user to get up to the same levels as a manufacturer, they'd have to have at least 1,500 sessions. And that's assuming a room size, the size of a lounge, so 20 square meters. So this is, again, considered to be conservative, and the number could be much higher than this.
And that's for 30 micrograms per 100 square meters, which is kind of the threshold for it to be considered a meth lab. So if we say that the threshold for something to be contaminated is half of that, it might be around, say, 750 smoking sessions before you creak over that.
So 2 years of smoking every single day.
Well, it's a pretty high bar, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know how often people do it. Once every couple of days? I don't know.
I don't think it would be that often. You'd think you'd notice something has gone a bit awry with your tenants at that stage.
And you might wonder, well, I hear quite a few landlords going on saying that their houses have been contaminated. So what's all of that about? Well, it's actually partially down to the type of test that is being used in New Zealand. So you really need to watch out for this. This is important. Sometimes what happens is companies will take what is called a composite test. Now, that's where they swab all of the different rooms. They put those swabs into a single test tube and they send that to a lab. Now, the issue with that is, let's say there's a little bit of meth contamination in all of the rooms, but all of them are below the threshold for what's considered to be safe. So this house is safe to be lived in. But if you swipe all of the different rooms, put them together and test them together, that is where you can be above the threshold. Now, again, the house, according to the government standards, is fine. But if you test it in that way and put all of the swabs together, that's where you can creep over that threshold. So the pro of that test is it's cheaper, but it's not a good test. And the Gluckman report says it's very, very bad because it gives too high a reading since they're all aggregated. So Andrew, do you think that a meth test is worth it, and who might it be appropriate for?
Look, I personally, I've never had one done in any of my properties. I do know that I had a meth contaminated house because it was disclosed when I bought the house, or we had people that lived there. I can't remember. It was in a rough area and we were selling it as a damaged house, so it didn't matter. But I've never had it done as the normal course of business. I think that it's probably a bit overkill personally. But if you suspect that you've got a user or a manufacturer, absolutely, you'd get a test then. Or if you're just one of those people that's really prudent and you want to make sure that you're sleeping at night, sure, if it helps you sleep at night, get it done then. But normal course of business, I'd say, don't worry about it.
And just so you know how much these things cost, it's usually somewhere between $200 and $300 plus GST, sometimes lower, sometimes higher. And just on that, Andrew, although, you know, you personally don't get a lot of meth tests done, do you see your investors, the ones you're working with, do they tend to get them?
Not nowadays. I think that, again, it was something that was a hot topic a few years ago, but not so much anymore. I can't remember the last time someone did.
And I tell you what, just as I was researching this, I came across an interesting question. Well, how do you tell whether there's been a meth lab in your house? And there are some like telltale signs. Mm-hmm. So what will often happen is they'll put the meth lab behind a fake wall. So,
this was interesting.
So if you go into a room and it's like really small and you're like, what's this tiny room? Perhaps there could be a fake wall and behind that is the lab. Similarly, you want to look for things like exhaust fans that are mounted where it doesn't really make sense. There's no logical
use. In a living
room. Yeah, or where there's power supplies that have no obvious reason. Mm. So, you know, those are some of the things you can start to look for if you're worried about your tenants. Certainly things like erratic behaviour, or if they've lost a lot of weight quite quickly. Those can be some of the signs, especially if they've got like open sores or wounds on them as well. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to grow your portfolio in 2022, then you might like to come in for a portfolio planning session. Easy way to sign up for this, whip out your phone, send us a text, 5522, text us the word plan. We'll be in touch. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Evan Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the use on the property market. Until next time.